basketball volunteers tonight. Absolutely get it done. This is for all the basketball balls of yesteryear. ETSU is not supposed to beat Tennessee in basketball. It ain't supposed to happen. Too much history there. Not supposed to beat our basketball volunteers. Dietrich Mostella harkened us back. That was an awesome, awesome, awesome game. I'm so glad we played that game. That was a lot of fun tonight. And I was taking notes for tomorrow's blog at TonyBasilio.com. And one of the things that I wrote, and I want to hear from you at 865-200-5402. One of the things that I thought was real interesting was the fact that you got to hook shot with your eyebrows. I mean, you got to do that. Dunk it with my nose. Taking a shot at me, buddy. Why is that externally playing? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, I see. Because this plug is not going all the way in. First world probs. Tennessee with a huge road win tonight. They go into that little bandbox. ETSU's totally pumped up. It was a really, really, really great win by our basketball Vols. And I'm really proud of them. And you should be as well. And that was a really, really super, super basketball game. If you want to get in with us tonight and respond and reply to what you saw, 865-200-5402 is my number. Again, 865-200-5402. Congratulations to Tennessee. Let's run through some of the numbers for you. Tennessee wins tonight 72-68 on a night when Dietrich Mostella flat out goes off. And great for him. Great for him. Tonight's game was one that was really, really interesting. Really interesting. Tonight's game, one where the lead changed hands, the momentum of the game switched hands a couple times, and Tennessee really handled it, I thought, well. Very commendable effort by the Vols tonight. And that is a huge win, as somebody's saying here, with A&M and the first six games in conference, and the schedulers did the Vols no favors, but with the first six games being as they are, that was a huge deal. That was really a huge game, a momentum shifting game for the basketball team. Tennessee wins tonight 72-68. Let's go through some of the numbers. Mostella, the man of the evening. At one point, I made a note late when the game was tied. Rick Barnes decided to go Hubs, Turner, Williams, Mostella, and Phillips. And it worked. And it worked. Tonight, Mostella in the game. As Tennessee wins down the stretch of the basketball game, outscores ETSU down the stretch, really outplays them in the last 4 minutes. And ETSU did not handle it well. In foul trouble. Cromer in foul trouble, who's really their top dog. The team that had the kids tonight looked like the veteran team, and the veteran team looked like the team that were the kids tonight. Looking at Mostella's evening, he was simply scintillating. And Mostella, if you look at the box score, was active on both ends. Both ends of the floor. He was very active tonight. Mostella finishes with 25. He's 8 of 15. He's 3 of 7 from three-point land. A huge 6 of 6 from the line when the game really mattered. He finishes with 7 boards to show you how active he was. Tennessee has a season high, I want to say, blocks on the evening. What did Tennessee finish with in terms of block shots? Let me find this. Because they finished with 9 blocks, including the one at the end of the game, to finish the game. And it's just, it's a fantastic result for this team to go on the road and to get the win there. And as somebody here is saying, you know, Fulkerson couldn't go, and that's a sad thing. You know, it mattered to all those guys to play well. You don't want to lose to ETSU. You don't want to be that team. You don't want to be that team. Boy, Steve Forbes did a really nice job tonight, too, with his team. Whew. Guy and coach. They got some really great shots. If you really notice that, they did a lot of things offensively, ETSU did, and got a lot of great shots. Woo! There were some, I'll tell you what, you take that game tonight, and that junk that the NFL's serving up, you take that game tonight and what was on the ESPN family and networks, and that game tonight is what it's about. Those interstate games, and Keith Hatfield's going to come on here. I am so glad we played that game. I am beyond glad that we played that game. And if we'd have lost that game, I'd have been glad we played that game. But we won that game. You're really glad you played that game. It was good for Tennessee's basketball program. It was good for basketball in the state of Tennessee. It was good for everybody involved. I commend everybody involved for doing it. And you know what? I don't know who the announcing crew was on television. Those guys are excellent. Those guys are excellent. Really, really excellent. 865-200-5402. If you're making your way back from the game tonight, of course, we're going to be with you on the app. If you want to call in and share with us what the atmosphere was like in the building, share it with us. There was an old school feel to tonight's game. There really was. There was an old school feel to that tonight. 865-200-5402. Really glad to see the Vols. When it gives this team some energy as they take a break for Christmas, a much needed break, but it gives them an opportunity to go into that conference schedule knowing we can handle the stretch drive of a tight basketball game. Let's go to the phones. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible tonight as I keep my eyes on my Philadelphia Eagles. 865-200-5402. Bring the great Keith Hatfield in here without further ado, and then we'll get as many callers in here. Keith, as I go through the line tonight, let's go through it one by one. Good, clean, fun. Here you go. Mostella, 25 in the game, 8 of 15 from the floor, 3 of 7 from three-point land, 6 of 6 from the line, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, only turns the ball over twice in 32 minutes. By far, Keith, his best performance in a Tennessee uniform, by far.
Well, I think all around, no doubt. I mean, he had some big offensive games last year. I mean, he had the game down at Mississippi State. He almost single-handedly won, but from an all-around performance, I don't think there's any doubt that's as well as he's played since he's been here.
And then you go and you look at how Tennessee tonight, Hubs tonight. Hubs, I thought, did a really excellent job of blending into that game. He didn't try to do too much. Some could say offensively he disappeared a little bit, although I would disagree with that. I think he blended in nicely to that basketball game, Keith.
Well, I mean, he saw that one of his teammates was having a huge night. I mean, I don't think tonight was the night to be hunting your own shot when you've got a guy playing as well as Mostella was on that end. I certainly didn't think that Hubs shied away from the game or anything.
Awesome win. What an awesome win for the basketball Vols. That was a huge win tonight, Keith.
Oh yeah, I mean I would be sure and tell everybody in Johnson City how much I appreciate it. I think the ETSU administration that had to tell me to be at least another 53 years before we bring
Keith.
A team in there.
Keith. Now why you want to do that?
No, there's just no way. There's just no way I'd if I were the athletic director or the coach, there's just no way that game would ever get scheduled.
Now, the big, as big of a wrestling fan as you are, you don't have all the great wrestling matches that have taken place up there in Freedom Hall. You don't have it in you to appreciate playing in a venue like that.
I do. Let somebody else do it. I mean, I'm all for the, what will be an absolute amazing. I'm going to look at the schedule and see when Chattanooga and ETSU play there. I may go up for that one. Oh, I'm all for people playing there. I'm just not for Tennessee playing there.
865-200-5402.
Hey, if Ole Miss or somebody like that wants to jump on board and go up there, I'm all for that.
Tennessee's numbers tonight are the numbers of winners. I thought East Tennessee State in that game tonight pressed. You could tell it was a really huge game to them. Huge game to those kids, that community. That thing started out, it was feeling like 1995. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was feeling 22, quoting Taylor Swift. But field goal percentage, Tennessee finishes 44% from the field. They're 24 of 55. They shoot 6 of 19 from three-point land, 32%. How about East Tennessee State tonight? They shot 8 of 17 from three-point land. The Vols got to the foul line 27 times to only 17 from East Tennessee State. Honk if you saw that happening. Tennessee turns the ball over 17 times, which is a workable number, to ETSU's 13. Tennessee gets 11 points off turnovers to ETSU's 6. Tennessee finishes with 44 rebounds to ETSU's 35. Tennessee has 27 rebounds to ETSU's 20. Tennessee has 17 offensive rebounds to ETSU's 15. Tennessee has 22 second chance points to ETSU's 12. Tennessee
that's
with
in the game.
That's huge.
You consider going in, I think most of us would have thought that with their size, that ETSU would have an advantage in that portion of the game.
Tennessee has moving along bench points. Tennessee 43 bench points. How many points do you think East Tennessee scored off their bench? Just take a stab. I mean, there's no way of knowing, but just stab at it.
6.
Fifteen. Points in the paint, Keith. That's an interesting number because it looked like all those numbers trend and say we were beating them up inside. We had 30. They had 32. A lot of their points came after makes, and they got down the floor quickly. But so did we. Both teams were pushing the ball. It was really a fun-to-watch game in the second half, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, I scream about that all the time. I've never understood. I mean, Jim Calhoun's teams made an absolute living doing it. For the whole time he was, for his entire tenure at UConn, I've never understood why people don't run off of made baskets. I've never understood the idea of just taking the ball out of the net and rolling it in and walking it up the floor. I've never understood that and never will.
I agree with that. And, tonight, fast break points. The Vols had 4, they had 5. Tennessee with 9, count them, 9 blocks in that basketball game tonight. 9 blocks in that game.
Well, that's good attention to detail and defense, because almost all of those were guys coming over off their man to help somebody on help defense. I mean, it's not as if guys were catching the ball in the post and turning around, and we were just, and their man was blocking their shot. I mean, that was good attention to detail on defense down the stretch. I mean, they had a stretch in the second half defensively for Tennessee. ETSU shot the ball pretty well. There was a stretch in the second half where Tennessee wasn't very good defensively.
No doubt about it. We'll go to the before we go to the phones, one other observation for you. Steals in the basketball game. Tennessee was 6. They had 8. I thought East Tennessee State's defense, their activity on defense kept them in the game. And I really thought they tried too hard. The game had 9, it was tied 9 times. There were 12 lead changes in tonight's game. Tennessee had the lead in that basketball game, Keith. 4, take a stab at it. How many minutes?
27.5.
You got it. 26.5 minutes. Keith watches basketball. East Tennessee State, Keith, had the lead 4 in that game tonight.
Well, there's got to be some, it's got to be tied for a little bit in there. There was about a 2 minute stretch. I'd say they probably led about 8.5.
They led for 4.5 minutes, or 4 minutes and 43 seconds.
It was tied for more than I thought. But yeah, I mean, that's that's Tennessee. Tennessee got the lead. Now, granted, it's not as if Tennessee ever had them in a position where you thought they had them put away.
No.
But,
oh, no.
Tennessee controlled the flow of the game for the most part and had the lead. And, I mean, that's the kind of game. I think that shows the progress because I think,
yep.
I don't think there's much difference between Chattanooga and ETSU. And I think you'll see that in conference play because, I mean, I don't follow that league.
Right.
Intimately, I mean, I know a little bit about the teams there. I mean, Wofford can probably play with them. I mean, there are some teams over there that can play with those two a little bit, but those are easily the two class teams in that league. And I think you'll see that. And I think it's certainly going to come down to those two between who wins the regular season. And I'll be stunned if that's not the conference tournament final. And I think you see Tennessee gets handled pretty easily in the opener on their home floor by one of them. And then, essentially, a month and a half later, goes on the road and beats one of them in their building. I think that, I mean, if that doesn't constitute progress, I don't know what does.
This team has really grown. To the phones we go. There's just no doubt about that. And here's the other thing. Let's understand something here. This is a team without Bone, who's a great player, going to be a great player here. And then another kid in Fulkerson, who I was dead wrong about, who's going to be a nice player. Let's go to the phones. We've got as many people in here.
Well, you've got to look at it this way, too, John.
Yeah.
The guy that I firmly believe the staff thinks will be the best player of the freshman class is redshirting.
And this is, ladies and gentlemen, your Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee basketball overtime. We celebrate tonight's win. Knowing that in a couple hours, it'll be my birthday, and I hope to be knocked out by a mixture of drugs, as it were, to ring in my 50th birthday. Let's get our first call in. Hello and welcome in tonight on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee basketball overtime. The Vols win.
What's going on, Chief?
Hey, Brocky, what's up, man?
Not much, man. Not much. First of all, I didn't know Mario Balotelli played
Where did that cat get his hair cut, and was he hanging a Christmas ornament honor Perea off the back of his head, Keith Hatfield? Did you notice he had the Christmas ball on the back of his head?
There's a reason he washed out of the Big Ten.
Interesting.
Hey, Tony, I'll say this. It was a nice win. It really was a nice win, but that would have been an awful loss.
Mm-hmm.
Because, unlike you, I just was not that impressed. Either with ETSU or, quote, the home floor advantage in that ball game. I mean, I'm really glad we won.
I agree with that.
We played pretty well at times, but I just didn't think that was that good a basketball team we played tonight.
They did not. You know, here's the thing. I think they were really tight.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They had a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah, defensively, I thought both teams played really well. Like, in that stretch where nobody could get anything done in the first half, those two teams were killing each other defensively. And I'll say this, and the guys that did the game on television really did a nice job of calling the game because they said, let the kids play. Let the kids decide it. And I love to see officiating like that.
Yeah, and if you look at and if you saw it beyond air shots of those two, they look to be a combined about 30 years old.
Yeah, and that's great. Look, those kids did a great job. Brocky, the other night, Tennessee finishes with 18 personal fouls. East Tennessee State finishes with 21. I mean, that's a workable number. That's a far cry from 36 and 30, like we saw the other night.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know, Tony, and listen, I think all officials are awful for the most part in college basketball. We may have benefited from it being an SEC crew tonight with Tony Green and that crew of clowns versus it just being their conference officials.
Yeah.
Tony Green works in that league.
Downplayed. He works at SoCon too.
And I just wasn't. Well. I was probably more disappointed in ETSU overall. I thought they'd probably be a little bit better club, actually. So.
I agree with that.
I'm glad they weren't.
Yeah, I
came out with a win.
I guarantee you Forbes is going to look at that video tomorrow, and he's going to say, man, we left a lot of points out there. Because they did.
I agree.
Yeah, they did. But you know what? The emotion, and he told me that 2 days ago on the air, handling the emotion of that game was the great unknown of that basketball game. And truthfully, they didn't handle it that well. And the fact is, they had, four seniors and a junior that started that game tonight. So they had some kids that knew what was at stake, understood what was at stake, and we were talking about how it was like a bowl game to those people, and that's exactly how the game unfolded tonight. Like it was their bowl game.
That's a great point. I just want to ask Keith point blank. Keith, what do you think we're going to finish in league play this year?
Somewhere between 7-11 and 11-7. I think that's spread. It's a game or two. It's a tick or two below 500 or a tick or two above. I think you'll probably have three quarters of the league finish in between there.
Obviously Kentucky.
Right.
Who do you really think are the teams that are better than Tennessee and the SEC? I mean, I'm talking about home court away game.
If they play on a neutral floor, I think Tennessee beats Tennessee at least 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, who?
Kentucky, Texas A&M, probably Florida, maybe Georgia, maybe South Carolina, and everybody.
You think Auburn's there yet?
No, they had to get a fluke shot to beat Mercer at home the other night, and they lost to a Boston College team that's not going to win an ACC game.
And they're a beneficiary of Brocky, a schedule that looks better on paper than it truly is. And Keith,
they're last year South Carolina I think they'll probably win tomorrow at UConn.
Yeah, that should be a great win.
10-2.
Yep.
And the best team they will have beaten is Texas Tech.
It's really interesting, Brock. And you look at that.
Hey guys, I just want to tell you before I get off here, Priscilla, I'll be listening. But you guys have a great Christmas, and everybody out there listening as well.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Brock. That's my guy. 865-200-5402. Let's get as many calls in here tonight. Celebrate Tennessee's win at East Tennessee State. If you were there, we'd love to hear from you. I think that you would find that people that went to that game would say, why not? One thing that Forbesy said is, we went down to Chattanooga the year we won 30, and I forget what year that was with Pearl. He said, but games like that make you better. I think tonight, Keith, Tennessee's a better basketball team for having played that game.
Well, because where the program's at. But if it progresses, as we hope it will under Rick Barnes, you don't need to go there to get that.
Well, that's true.
You go play in Tucson to get that. Well, you go play in Bloomington to get that.
865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in as we welcome our next caller in, to say the least. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, it's Christmas time at Hollis, Queens. Tony is beat.
Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens.
I'm going to rice and stuff and leave it at that. We can do the whole song. Hey, man, what about the end? And this gets you fired up, usually. Just by listening, I know how you like watching games. Isn't it neat? And Kendall's okay at this. Don't get me wrong. But how neat to watch in-game coaching. Keith, I know that fires you up, too. I saw some in-game coaching and getting on the refs a little bit. Barnes is coming alive some, folks.
I thought both guys did a nice job tonight in that basketball game in terms of trying to. Go ahead, Keith. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying it's two quality coaches. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. That's two high quality coaches.
Yeah, Forbes is the real deal too, man. And it's good to see him over there. I know he obviously was wanting to win out of that, but he can't be too disappointed. I'm with you, Tom. He left some stuff out there points wise on the court. And man, with Fulkerson and Josh both out, I think it's something else far run out. I think it's been really important that we've had these late games down to the wire a few times. Today, Tennessee's been there all season. There's nothing new to them. Don't know that ETSU has had those come down to the wire like that. That's just that's our standard MO right now, guys. Hey, Merry Christmas to both of you.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, man. Thanks for being there. You know, Keith, that's my point, is you take a game, it's a one-point game to the last TV timeout, and you have got to navigate your way through that. And that's what's good about
ACC this year.
Yes.
Because the league's, there's not enough difference between, like I said, between about, I don't think honestly, Tony, there's a nickel's worth of difference between 6th and 13th in the SEC this year. I mean, you take out the five teams I mentioned, who I think, and South Carolina and Georgia are probably just marginal, and that's a lot of that depends on Sindarius Thornwell coming back at South Carolina.
Right.
But I think Missouri's Division II bad.
Oh.
But you take those six teams out, The other eight, you put them on a neutral floor and play a tournament, any of the eight could win it.
Bow thy heaven, you say thy name. The great Keith Hatfield's joining. Will Marky Boy Griffin make the move as well tonight? 865-200-5402. Let's go to our busy phones and get our next call up. I want to remind you, you're listening to your Smart Way, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Tonight I was at the sushi spot doing my show and had lunch with Marcos Garza, and a gentleman walks in, and Dr. Looney is his name, and he's actually a linguist who is a doctor, and he is at Penn State University, and he listens to the app, and he looks over, and I said, this guy here makes it possible for us to do what we're doing here. And I'll tell you one thing. You talk to anybody that's done my business, done my job. When you find good quality sponsors who are loyal to you, you hug them and you love them. And I want to encourage you to, when you get an opportunity to use our sponsors, let's go to the phones without further ado. And I say that against the backdrop that my man D-Light's out there from Miller and Coors and all the great stuff we've had this year with the listener watch parties and football. And we're going to do a couple in basketball coming up in the winter. And I just get emotional at this time of the year thinking about how hard it is, to be your own guy like I am and go against the corporations and keep something on the air. And it does not happen without you. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. It does not happen without you. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. To the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Smartway, Garza Law Firm. Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The Vols win tonight, 72-68 at East Tennessee State. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, this is JJ.
Hey, JJ, welcome in.
Hey, I just want to congratulate Keith's BYU team for a gutty victory the other night in the bowl game.
Your Cougars got the win, Keith.
The one good thing I can say about that is at least they were playing early enough in the bowl season that nobody saw it. The only time I won't play you in a bowl game is when they're in a major bowl and they get their brains beat out.
Interesting.
Keith, I remember you mentioning Johnny Drum a couple months ago. I had their private stock and I thought it was very nice.
Quality stuff. Probably the best value in bourbon right now.
Yeah, under $30. I got it, I think, for like $28. It was really nice.
Are we talking spirits on here right now?
Correct.
Well,
interesting.
Just the season, Tony.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a UT fan, you got to find some kind of solace and
in the bottom of a bottle somewhere.
I like the top, but yeah, sometimes it ends up getting to the bottle rather quickly.
Interesting.
I totally agree with Brocky. I think if we'd have lost that game, we would find plenty of things to gripe about. And I know that we are not very talented, which supports, Tony, your beef about the lack of recruiting effort, and especially for Tennessee historically being a good program, what we had experienced with Pearl. And I'm 41, and honestly, other than Tobias Harris, I don't know when we've ever had a true post player that we could feed it in. And I remember Hathaway had the size and everything, but he couldn't get a layup without, you know, just no one guarding him. And, you know, Dyron Nix was, I guess, 6'7", but he was kind of more of a mid-range kind of guy. And to me, you guys were talking about the good in-game coaching. I didn't see it. When you're looking at 17 turnovers, and I don't think ETSU had the size on us, I thought we just dribbled around way too much on the perimeter without purpose, without direction, and use some size. I know we're not very good, and I know Lou Evans, but those guys that they have, the way they were calling the game in the second half, they were calling a lot of touch fouls, and I just don't know why we don't post up hubs. We don't, you don't have to go inside to a post player to go inside, and I want to get your guys' take on that.
Keith, your thoughts, and JJ, thank you. Merry Christmas to you, man.
Well, I mean, I think that's where Touch does a lot of his best work is in the kind of the mid-post range.
Yes.
I think you've got to get him the ball there. I think that. But, I mean, I'm not going to belabor the Barnes recruiting stuff, but Mississippi State's back-to-back top 10 class is fair against ETSU.
865-200-5402. The thing about the big man and basketball and big people, and I mean that's a facet of the game that's disappearing.
Well, you got to look at it this way, Tony. And this is always how I evaluate it. Once you get past the big guys that are going to go to the Carolinas and the Kansas and the Dukes and the Kentuckys who have the Arizonas who have their picks of players.
Right.
I don't care if a big guy's a 4-star or whatever. That guy's not that great, because otherwise he'd be going somewhere where he knows he's leaving after a year to go to the NBA.
865-200-5402 is my Eagles score again on Sheely and the Giants. Not that you care about that, but we're going to go to the phones and get as many people in here as humanly possible. If you have a thought on tonight's game, if you were at the game, if you'd like to share a thought on the game, I'm fighting a little bit of this crud that's going on, so I don't know how long I'm going to be on here, but I'm on, and I'm darn proud of it. 865, go ahead.
You talk about how weird college basketball is?
Yes.
When he took the job in El Paso, did you ever think Tim Floyd would be sitting having lost 8 straight games in a stretch?
You just and the thing about this stuff is you just never know, man. You know, you they brought him back home, and you think we're gonna put the band back together
in whatever, a lousy league,
in a bad league, and you can't get any traction, and you just never know.
Been in the NCAA tournament, and they're now 2-9 with losses to Maryland, Eastern Shore, Northwestern State, and a bunch of other lowlights.
And when you're losing games like that, you've bottomed out, you know. You just never know. The thing about this stuff is, you hire somebody and you just hope it works out, and we'll go to the phones. 865-200-5402 is the number on a night where Tennessee's minutes distribution, Keith, whatever this means to you, you tell me. Turner plays 26, Williams plays 27. And by the way, Williams was huge down the stretch. He had 4 points down the stretch. He's huge in that game, and he's active, and he's blocking shots. And, you know, in a sense, he had 9 rebounds, a couple of assists. Tennessee turns the ball over 17 times, which, again, in that atmosphere, it's an okay number. It's a workable.
Young teams are going to turn the ball over. We've talked about that.
Yeah, it's a workable number. You can win. You can win turning the ball over 17 times. I mean, you got to have a guy shoot the ball like we saw tonight. Bowden,
you got to make them turn it over some.
Bowden, who was recruited by ETSU, never really got into his groove, only played 9 minutes in the game, finished with 2 points, 1 of 4, 0 of 3 from 3-point land, had 2 really nice looks, and missed both of them. And then we look down, let's just look at the minutes distribution. Does anything here surprise you? Turner 26, Williams 27, Hubs 32, Alexander got the start, played 19 minutes, finished with 4 fouls, scored the first 4 points for the Vols. Bowden played 9. Schofield had 7. Parker 18. Mostella 32. Evans 13. And my man, Sweet Lou Evans. That's my guy. That is meat from Porky's. My guy, Sweet Lou Evans, plays 13, Shambari Phillips with 16 minutes played. Anything surprising there before we go to the phones?
Not surprising, but I think, yeah, unless Lou Evans' productivity picks up substantially, I think that if Kyle Alexander is able to avoid foul trouble, you'll see less and less of Lou Evans. And at this point, I'm not exactly sure what Admiral Schofield's role on this team, if he actually has
been. Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a shame, because he seems like a good kid from a good family. But Addy doesn't seem
I just don't know that he's a fit for what
They're doing. That
he's a fit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That happens.
Sure.
I mean, that's not an indictment of the kid or the coach's staff or anybody. It just happens.
No. And what's the message tonight with Alexander starting? What do you think that was about?
Well, I think that was to match their size. I think that was to match the guys that was to match Mosquera, Perea, and the guys they start, Tevin Glass. I think that's what it was. That was just more a matchup thing. I don't necessarily think that was a message to anybody. I think that was just, because the thing was, and we talked about this on my show today, one thing you couldn't do tonight was come out and be down 14-2 at the first TV timeout. You come out and get jumped tonight, you're not getting up.
What was interesting about tonight's game was the way they started the big lineup and they ended the game with a smaller lineup.
Well, I think that's, especially offensively, that's going to be their best lineup. Because, I mean, you've got, Alexander is still completely a work in progress offensively.
Yes, he is.
I mean, there will be nights, that final lineup, you'll have Bowden in there instead of Mostella. Because, I mean, I think Bowden not playing tonight was more a case of how well Mostella played than anything and Bowden missing a couple of shots.
And by the way, somebody points out here, Ryan Walker, the smaller lineup was actually better rebounding-wise because they got to a lot of things that were hard off the glass.
Right.
Let's go to the phones. And do we get the belt for winning in the hall tonight? That's what they should have done. They should have commissioned a championship belt for that thing tonight in honor of the late, great Ron Wright.
Or just called Cornette and got the old Smoky Mountain belt.
And that's what they call that thing, the Smoky Mountain Championship. And we'll play them annually here and there. Or we'll go 2-1. We'll play 2 down here and then 1 up there. Keith, are you in favor of that? Every 3 years we go to Freedom Hall and play. Keith, you in?
No.
Back to the phones we go. 8-6-5.
Every 53 years I like. That's about, after tonight, I'm okay with every.
You can be a real crotchety B word, Hatfield.
I'm just saying, man.
You are really crotchety.
I mean, I put it this way, as much as I'm all for helping basketball in the state, my main concern on that end is Tennessee. And Tennessee gets zero. I put it this way, when the state the program's in now, you get something out of going to Johnson City. If you're still getting something out of going to Johnson City in 2 years, you've failed as a program.
Somebody just said we ought to turn around next year and play them in. In the Civic Coliseum. Let's go to the
If the Civic Coliseum's still standing.
That's the worst thing I've ever seen. The poor Civic Coliseum. Oh, my gosh.
Or play down there at the convention center where they played Bobby Mays' celebrity game.
Poor convention center. That thing's the biggest white elephant. We know how to hold a city back here, I'll tell you what.
Oh my gosh,
don't get me started.
That was so much better an investment than a ballpark.
Oh, it was so necessary. Wow. Talk about a white elephant. By the way, when you call the show tonight, what we're going to do is, I have an auto attendant, which means that the phone automatically answers. We have some people that come in and out and are like hanging up as they get engaged. Once you hear my Barry White sounding, because it's really bassy coming through the processing, once you hear those tones, you'll know that you're locked in. And when you get locked in, you're going to love it. Let's go to the phones. Hello, welcome into our next caller.
What do you say, Tony?
Hey, welcome in, Jacardio. You got to get a new name now that GQF has left the area.
Hey, listen to this. I say we play them at Bull's Gap. And we
meet halfway.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Jerry. He calls in about 4 weeks out of five. He's the first caller. Jerry from Bull's Gap. He's the first caller on ball calls.
He sounds smart. I mean, just the fact that he's Jerry from Bull's Gap sounds like a smart guy. Now he's probably watching me right now, but he sounds smart.
When Hammond brings him on those shows on like football finals and stuff, that's the best.
And we need to let Jerry from Bull's Gap do the PA.
Clooney's imitation. Ibuprofen. Ibuprofen is that Advil? Because I'm going to take five of these.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Okay, cool. I've had like nine of them today already. Celia's got a little fever.
Y'all brought up Tim Floyd's name. You know what? How different would Tim Floyd's career have been if that phone call that Doug Dickey made from Kevin Stallings' kitchen would have went better?
Well, he probably never coaches in the NBA.
I mean, I think
that's probably a plus.
I mean, bottom line is, I think it helped. Put it this way, I think the real question is, imagine what Tim Floyd would have done with the team Kevin O'Neill would have left it.
Exactly.
Or Bill Self. Well, I mean, as good as Tim is, I mean, for God's sake, we picked Gary Green over Bill Self.
We've had so many forks in the road with this program.
Wade Houston over Bob Huggins and Rick Majerus.
I mean, we've just had so many what-ifs in the history of this basketball deal. It's been so close for so long.
I mean, wouldn't it be better, Tony, if we could look back on all the old lists and it was all terrible?
Yes! And it was all straight garbage. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like. We've always got three good choices and we've got two great choices and one bad one, and we almost always take the one bad one.
It's insane. Now, the last
time. Even though I'm not a big fan of the guy, I will say the one time we got it right and got it completely right was with Bruce Pearl.
Yes.
It's pretty much the final three were like Mike Anderson, Bruce Pearl, and Greg Marshall. Even as much as I dislike Bruce, I'll grant we got that one right.
The last time this job was open, Keith, who were some of the names? Because they did it so quickly. I mean, it was like a week courtship. Was anybody out there? There was nobody out there, right?
They called Holtman up at Butler, and I think they called Chris Mack. And I think that was about it. I mean, I don't have any doubt that when Rick Barnes was fired, that was the end of the search.
Right. As soon as he came on the market. So yeah, really, there's not going to be like 3 years from now or whatever, some kind of deal where you go, well, so and so was out there and so. So that's kind of the one interesting thing about this, the way Tennessee does things.
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't think, and I mean, hopefully, if this freshman class develops and they recruit us at the level they're at least fighting on in the next class, we won't have to worry about it.
Yep.
But
hey, guys, I'll tell you what. I'll be honest with you, I didn't think we had a chance to win in a game.
I didn't either.
I thought Tennessee would get beat double digits.
So did I. I'm with you, Keith. That's why people are like, you seem surprised, or you seem excited when we first started, and you damn straight I'm excited. Because I appreciate the hell out of how hard that game was to win. Because I like the sport of college basketball. I know that they have an athletic and deep kind of team, and I know that they're going to be one or two in that Southern Conference, and it's going to be them or Chattanooga. And as you mentioned earlier, Mike Young's teams might get into that as well over at Wofford. But that's a pretty damn good win by the Vols that people aren't going to appreciate. But that was a pretty damn good win by the Vols tonight. It really was.
Well, yeah, I'm telling you, one thing you look at is very simple. There's a reason a guy with 600 plus wins is sitting there telling you, we're not going to play games like that anymore. We're not making those trips anymore. There's a reason for that. He knows how hard those games are. You didn't see him going and playing at Sam Houston State or at Stephen F. Austin when he was at Texas. He knows better.
Guys, here's another thing. When ETSU started 3 of 17 from the field, and we're only up 1 point, I said, there's no damn way we're winning this game.
I agree with that. I did not like the way it started. I didn't like that stretch where we went. Thank God Mostella came in and went on that 10-point run right before the half.
He won the game for us, Tony.
Buddy, he was great on both ends. That's a thing I like about where Mostella has come, is he, in my humble opinion, he had his own, what was it, 11-point run? I've got it written down here. Mostella had an 11-point run right at the end of the half.
Might have even been 13, because didn't he get all the points from the time it was 19-14 till halftime?
I've got it written down here. Hang on one second.
I think you're right, Keith.
One second. Let's see here. Well, I've got the damn thing written down somewhere. Anyway, who cares about me? I'm boring. I don't know. I think it was 13. I think you're right, Keith. It was 13. He basically scored 13 straight points.
And, you know, when you consider we're without our point guard, we're without our best big man, in which he's not a big man.
Right.
And see, that's the thing about Polky is, Keith, they really got him playing out of position. He's a stretch three is what he is. Because my buddy was his AAU coach, and they've got him playing down low. He's really a stretch three. And I hear a lot of people talking about he needs to develop a 12 to 15-foot jump shot. Hey, the guy can shoot it out there, and he can shoot it from three, but they've got him stuck down low out of a necessity. And when he's a team player, he's going to do it. But if we can get a couple of big guys down low, I think it's going to be a nice team.
You're right. Absolutely right.
And, I mean, certainly, and I don't think the guy's ever going to play another game of college basketball, but, I mean, I know what if I were Rick Barnes, I would want for Christmas.
Lay it out there. Share with the living listener what you're thinking here. It's an interesting thought.
I mean, he's going to be a graduate transfer. He's going to be eligible immediately. If I were Rick Barnes, I would be hoping that I got a phone call from Austin Nichols sometime soon.
I agree with you.
And that's the kid from Virginia. Originally from Memphis, who was recruited by Konzo Martin.
Wanted to come here. I mean,
parents,
a great example of what happens when somebody listens to their parents and says what they want to do.
And then he ends up there. They lose patience with him. Keith, a knock on him, he's not a quote-unquote thug, per se. But it came down to Tennessee and Virginia for him. He was basically kicked off Virginia's team earlier this year, so he's not even playing now.
No, he's...
But he'll have a year. He'll have a year.
Yep.
And Austin Nichols is a nice player. He'd be a nice stopgap for them. It's a good idea.
If he chose to dedicate himself to basketball,
yeah.
Austin Nichols can play in the NBA.
If it's a good idea, Keith, if he's not a complete headache... Because, look, here's the thing I know about Bennett over there. He's, you know...
He's no nonsense. He's like his father. And not that different than Rick Barnes. But the thing is, you do the same thing. You do the same thing Donnie Kendall did with Dominic Woodson. He's only here for a year, man. You bring him in, and he's a pain in your ass come December.
2 weeks. That's what they did
Goodbye.
With Woodson. Yeah, that's what they did with Woodson.
Man.
Yep.
It's your last chance.
Yeah, and Woodson.
You'll figure that out pretty quick because, I mean, it's his last chance.
Yeah.
You got nowhere else to go.
I don't know. What is the story on Nichols? He's just a disciplinary problem? It's not substances or anything, is it?
I mean, he's a typical college kid, Tony. I think he would rather just be a college student. I think Austin Nichols is one of those guys who plays basketball because he's 6'11".
Yeah.
I think if Austin Nichols was 6'4", he might play some intramural ball and hang out with his fraternity buddy.
Doesn't love it?
No, it's not. And there are a lot of guys like that.
Sure.
There are a whole bunch of guys in the NBA who are in the NBA because they're 7 feet tall. They're like, I can make a great living doing this. There are a whole bunch of guys in that league who it's not really their passion.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was that tall, Keith. I thought he was like around 6'9".
He's
up there.
He'll list 6'10" easy.
Yep.
Most I remember
now,
that.
Now here we'd list him at 6'7" probably.
I think we
underestimate everybody here.
That was the first big recruit that Konzo missed out on, as what I can remember.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm honestly, I'm not Konzo's biggest fan, but as far as I'm concerned, Konzo didn't miss lines. I mean, the kid wanted to come here. I mean, the kid wanted to come here. Mom wanted him to go to Memphis. Dad wanted him to go to Virginia. So, I mean, my thought would be, I'd make roundabout contact if I were Rick Barnes and say, hey, you tried it Mom's way, you tried it Dad's way, why don't you try it your way?
If I'm not mistaken, Krzyzewski offered him.
Yeah, I mean, that's who Memphis beat him for was Tennessee and Duke. I mean, he didn't even really have Virginia in his Final Four.
Hey, guys, I'll tell you what, I can't understand what's happened to Admiral Schofield, because he looked so good last year. Did you not think he did, Keith?
I think it's a style deal.
I think it is.
But you're right about him. I mean, look, I don't think, from what I understand, there's nothing wrong with that kid. In other words, he's not a dog. He does what they ask of him. He tries. Some guys fit programs and some guys don't, and that's the way it's going to be. It's the way it's always going to be.
Well, and the one thing is, Tony, Barnes has certainly been out long enough. He's not the kind of guy who certainly consciously doesn't play favorites like this, or even subconsciously. Let's be honest. At this point, it appears to me that Schofield and Grant Williams are essentially the same player. Grant Williams is playing better, and Grant Williams is Barnes' guy.
Yeah, and that's what they do. That's what everybody
does. I mean, Barnes recruited him.
That's
what people do. I think they're the same guy.
Yeah.
I think coaches, even if it is subconsciously,
yep,
they're going to give the benefit to the guy they recruited.
In my organization, I'm going to put my people in my organization. Just the way it is.
Keith, didn't Schofield play more like a two-guard last year, and Grant Williams is playing down on the block?
Well, I mean, Admiral played in the post on defense a lot last year out of necessity. Now, he was out on the perimeter more offensively, but I think that works against him this year, too, because Tennessee's got plenty. I mean, that's the one thing Tennessee should do this year. I mean, young teams always struggle shooting from the perimeter to some extent, but Tennessee should be able to find somebody to shoot the ball from the perimeter every night this year, because they've got about eight options.
Yeah, we got some shooters.
I mean, you can cycle through everybody. And it's going to be a rare night where you've got all five or six of them not shooting it well.
You know, I'll say this, Jeeker, and I appreciate your phone call. There are some nice pieces in that class going forward. It'll surprise me next year if Schofield's on that roster. And I appreciate your time. Thank you, brother.
And
I hate that for him. I hate that for him, because that's not a good spot to be in. But that's the nature of Division I athletics. Keith, we're coming up on an hour. Somebody had asked me a second ago what East Tennessee State's results were coming into tonight. This is a team that coming into this evening was 9-2. Their two losses were at UNC Wilmington,
who may well win their league,
and at Dayton, who is a very good team.
It was probably an NCAA tournament.
This team has had a win at Morehead State. They had a win at Mississippi State. They beat the UC Irvine Anteaters, who are no walk in the park.
Who will be right at the top of the Big West.
They beat Milwaukee. They beat Detroit Mercy. They beat the Rams of Fordham. And that, my friends, is what they did. And
It's not like they ran up their record against a bunch of MEAC and SWAC teams.
No, that's for their level of basketball, that's a nice schedule.
That's a nice little mix of A-10 teams and Colonial Athletic Association teams. That's not a bad schedule.
Keith, give me a final thought here on the way out, because I'm fixing to pass out here, and I'm not joking.
Well, I mean, I think Tennessee, at the end of the day, tonight's game was bigger for Tennessee's postseason hopes than it was for ETSU's, because ETSU, I mean, they know they're going to win enough games to get in the NIT or the CBI, maybe even win the regular season and qualify for the NIT that way. Their road to the NCAA tournament is winning the Southern Conference tournament. So I don't think tonight changed the dynamic for them. Now Tennessee's in a position where Kansas State may be 10-1. I think they're the worst, or the second worst, at best the third worst team in the Big 12. So I think Tennessee can beat them in Knoxville. So that makes you 8-6 in your non-league. You play 500 ball inside the league with that schedule. Tennessee's going to be in the NIT.
And that'd be a great accomplishment for year two.
For this group, especially when you consider that you will have played half the season without your point guard and probably half the season without a guy who is really productive for you in Fulkerson. I want to go to the NCAA tournament every year. I'm like Barnes. I don't think you throw seasons away. But I think you also have to be realistic. If this team plays well enough in the SEC to win 9 or 10 games and makes the NIT, given that we'll bring essentially everybody back next year and add Jalen Johnson, add Zach Kent, and I'm sure they're going to add somebody else. Now, whether it's Yves Mons or Austin Nichols or whoever, they're adding somebody else. So, you give me an NIT appearance this year, I'll take my chances of what that team will look like next year.
I love the team. I love the term Yves Mons. I can get used to that. Hatfield, love you, man. Thanks.
Love you too.
By the way, who presented your effort tonight? And it was a great effort by you.
That would be Clancy's Tavern and Whiskey House in downtown Nashville and Gus's World Famous Fried Chicken at 3101 Southern Avenue.
Damn, Hatfield. You got more sponsors than I do. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Don.
Great Keith Hatfield, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say to you, thanks for being there. And I want to say congratulations to our basketball volunteers. And I want to say to me, boy, I hope you feel better, Tone, on your birthday, because this is not going too well tonight. Until we meet again tomorrow, I'm on the air from 11 to 1 with my partner in crime, lo these many years, the great Bino. And we'll be back with you tomorrow from 11 to 1. I was planning on doing a Christmas cantata with ZR tonight, but I'm feverish and I'm not doing real well. So let me get out of here. While I'm in one piece, congratulations to the Tennessee basketball team. Congratulations to East Tennessee State on being great hosts. That's what the sport should be about. Growing up in Big Five country where everybody played everybody and everybody made time for everybody, up there in the Philadelphia area, it was a beautiful thing. Tonight's game kind of harkened me back to that a little bit. There was an old school feel to what took place tonight, and it was an intriguing, solid, I thought, quality basketball game by two good basketball teams. I wish you a Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you tomorrow. And until we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, we'll be back with you as soon as the Texas A&M game goes final. Check the blog out tomorrow at TonyBasilio.com. As this puts an hour in the books for us, I want to thank my friends at Smartway and also Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm and my friends at Performance Medicine as well. I love you. We appreciate you. Spread the word. Thunderbird. What's the price? 40 twice. Say it loud. Say it proud. I'm hyped, I'm hamped, and I'm ham, ant. Hey, thanks, I appreciate you. Have a great night. Okay, let's see here. What we gonna do?
I guess I gotta name, I have to name this. Oh, man. Ugh.
This stuff here, when you're worn out, you wouldn't think that this would be that big a deal. I mean, it is so tiring. Ugh. When you feel brutal. Man. I was thinking about just taking some Theraflu and going to sleep, but I can't. I couldn't do that after watching that win. But I've got kind of that fever, headache, light sensitivity thing going on. I feel like I could throw up. It's pretty neat. Love you. Hope you have a great night. Thank you. God bless. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, and all that good stuff. We love you. And if you're listening on the app, hey, what can I say? Hey, what can I say? I got a woman and she won't be true now. Yo, what can I do? Got myself a woman and she won't be true, yo. All right, we love you. I'm going to put my blog together and go to sleep. Watch the Eagles lose. I'm going to go watch the Eagles lose. What do you think of that?
What do you think of that noise? If you're coming out of the game tonight, I'm going to throw the replay on for you so you can enjoy the replay of what we do here. This is a labor of love.
In front of the three wise men. The three wise men. What a great line by me.
Basketball Jones! I got a basketball Jones! basketball tunes, oh baby, ooh. Yes, I'm the victim of a basketball tunes. Ever since I was a little baby, I always be dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball. And I love that basketball.